that we gave this morning. And we are reminded over and over again, but both the Old Testament and the New Testament, why that is. Why is it that God is the central focus of our worship? It is because He is the Lord. It is because He is our God. It is because He is our Maker. It is because He for the people, the pastor, and the chief of His nation. He is our Lord and our God. Worship is the best. We are to devote ourselves to worship of Him. And He is worthy of that devotion. We are not worthy of anyone worshiping Him. That is why in the New Testament, no matter how good the people might have been, the Apostle Paul people bowed down to worship them, and they were told to get up. Because they weren't worthy of that. Men are not worthy of that. But God is worthy of that. That seems to go without saying, doesn't it? If we're not careful, we can forget about that. That worship is not about me. It is about God. It is about His deserving, not me deserving. It is about His demanding it. It is about His demanding it. It is about God. It is about His servant. We need to remember that because we live in the world of humanity. And we're the God. But I really think the principle of thought is, what am I doing? What is worship for me? And it seems to be very little concern about what God is giving me. What is in it for God? What's in it for God is something that He deserves, not that He doesn't deserve. Glory, magnification, honor, glory. God is worthy of those things in our life. Why is He worthy of those things? Well, the psalmist gives us three answers to that here. Because He is our Maker. And because He is our Shepherd. We are the people of His. We are the seed of His. That idea of being the people of His pasture, the people of His pasture, there is more than the idea of our belonging to God, although He says that I do. And we are owned by God because He created us. By right of being our Creator, He is us. What right does God have to tell you what to do? What right does God have to tell me what to do? He is your Creator. He has the right to tell you everything that you deserve. That's the one who created you. That's the one for whom your existence depends. Further than the people who speak of it's so much more than that, than just the idea of God creating us, our being owned by Him. I think that's the God's property over us to go up that point there, and that's the point there. The Lord is my shepherd. What does that mean? What the psalmist says, what it means is, He makes me lie down when He catches and leads me to the water. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for His name's sake. His rod and His staff, they comfort the psalmist. That's protection. That's provision.
all that we stand, all that we are the result of God. That's why He is worthy of our worship. Because He created us, because He sustains us. Then you go over to chapter 9:6-9. It is also because He saved us. Psalm chapter 96, beginning at verse 1, they sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless His name. Proclaim the good news to salvation from day to day. Declare His glory among the nations, His wonders among the people. For the Lord is great and greatly to be feared. He is to be feared by all gods. For all the gods of the peoples are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before Him, strength and beauty are His truth. Here again, we find these ideas of what is it about God that makes Him worthy? What makes Him worthy is He created us. What makes Him worthy is about His glory, about His majesty, about His power, and all those wonderful things that God is. That is how we live. And so worship is about God. It is right that worship be about God. We live in a religious society today where the focus seems to be on self. What am I getting? What's in it for me? That's not what we're here for. Is that worth it? No, absolutely you do. You get things that work. In the Hebrew writers, we get that in pages 23 and 24. It talks about the benefit that you get from worship, that you give to others, provoking to love and good work, that we give to others. That is secondary. Worship about God, we worship at Him for the benefit of God. I'm going to share what worship is all about. We talk about bowing down, let us worship, let us kneel before the Lord. Bowing down and kneeling. That's the position of humility. We come before God and worship with humility. We come before God and give Him realizing that really we're not worthy of doing it, but God is worthy of receiving it. And so because God is worthy of receiving it, we are able to do it. The Hebrew writer, it's interesting. The Hebrew writer talks in chapter 7, chapter 10, talks about the attitude in which we can approach the throne of God. We can approach the God's throne of grace boldly. We can come before God with confidence, the Hebrew writer says. And that applies to everything that we do, whether it's talking about the things that we do in our relationship with God in private, praying to God at home, singing to God at home, any act of worship as an individual. We can come before God boldly. We can come before God with confidence. We can come before God with assurance. Why? Because we have faith. That's the way that we take faith. But I love it. Knowing that faith is faith. So that's one side of the spirit, that we can approach God with confidence. confident, we can trust God with assurance. But there's another side to that. That is, we approach God with a sense of peace. We approach God with We bow down to God. It's not physically and certainly with our minds are bowed down. Our hearts are kneeling before God as we come into the court and as we worship for God. Again, the religious world has lost a lot of that. Have you lost that idea of awe and reverence as you come before God to be judged and trained to be given? Because that's the only way that we worship and be accepted by God. As you kneel before Him with your mind and come before Him with emotion, understanding that you're really not worthy of this. And approaching Him in prayer. He says here in this passage, "Oh, come, let us worship." I love how over and over and over again it is with such excitement that David invites his people in the place to sing to him, to praise him, to glorify him, to honor him. Let us do this. Not we have to, but we are eager to do it. Go to the conference. Psalm chapter 100. A little short song that passes over there. And coming before our God, it says, "Make a joyful sound to the Lord on your own. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who made us, and not we ourselves. We are the people and the things of His past." And so we said in chapter 95, "Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with joy. Be thankful to Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth is good all the way." And so David extends this wonderful invitation. Let us joyfully go before our God. Old Testament worship was simply for us and for New Testament worship. It was never designed as a spectacle. It was always designed as something that we engage ourselves. We engage ourselves wholeheartedly. David did that as an emotional worship. place, it gets you to another place. It's to put something into our work. It's the hope that the first put our joy forward into it. Thank you.